Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. Chris Lorton here. I'll be your host today. And with me, again, I have, for the second day, Scott Mandrell. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Chris.
Yes. And we got to talking, if you didn't join us the last episode yesterday, you have a office in Godfrey, have some originated in Kane, your family.
You got
some
part of the family farmed in Kane. That's yeah, right. I grew up in the Alton Godfrey area. Right. And my office is at 3014 Godfrey Road in Godfrey, Illinois, not too far from the new firehouse down there.
Yes. So. And if you really wanted to learn about Scott, listen to the last episode. It's on Listen on Demand. And about his getting to where he is now. Now, what? How old were you when you started working for Edward Jones?
I was 54.
54.
Yep. And so I was a career changer. I had had a previous career, and I was looking for a sort of a final chapter to be something summative of all my life experience. And this was a great opportunity to serve the community.
And you said that your wife, she'd been working with Edward Jones?
My wife has been with Jones in a managerial position for about 23 years at our home office.
Can you say what you like about Edward Jones?
Unequivocally, the culture. It's a St. Louis company founded in 1922. I would argue that probably most everyone in your listening audience and in the area probably knows someone who has had some employment or experience with or in some way connected with Edward Jones. One of the things that's particularly interesting about our firm, which I alluded to Ted and Pat Jones, our second managing partner, who was Edward Jones's son, he and his wife did not have any kids. And had become very philanthropic, in particular in the realm of conservation. And one of the things they also determined in their life was that they wanted to give back, and they wanted to share the great benefits and success that they had in their life. And when the decision was made about the future of the company, since they had no children themselves, there had been an argument for taking the company public. And they made a decision to, instead of going public, to make the company a partnership. And so they literally gave the company to the employees. So if you are talking with someone who is a financial advisor with Edward Jones, you are talking to an owner of the company, really. We are a limited partnership, and everyone who is a member of the firm really has a vested interest in the firm. And so that structure means that we're not publicly traded, so we're not beholden to stockholder demands and that sort of thing. So it really is, I think, a distinguishing characteristic of our firm, which is that we genuinely have a vested interest in the successful conduct of our business.
And also, as I didn't realize until you mentioned it, I think maybe it was off air, that we see a lot of Edwards Jones offices in the rural area, in small towns, et cetera. Right. Unlike maybe in the big cities, you might have a skyscraper full of, you know, financial advisors and you got, but in this case, they're kind of spread out. Can you get any words to say about that?
Well, absolutely. It really is a hallmark of Edward Jones is the small town financial advisor who lives in the community, who has relationships in the community, goes to church with you, is involved in the local civic organizations and those sorts of things, who know your situation and are friends and family. And ultimately, I think for my office, at any rate, one of the things that I really value is the confidentiality. When someone comes in my office, they know that they can speak freely and there's not someone on the other side of the partition who might, you know, hear what's being said. And it gives people I think sometimes puts people at ease and allows them to feel like they can really share some of the particulars of their situation that allow us to better serve them. And that is not always the case in a large group setting.
Yeah. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to mention some things mm-hmm. and let you elaborate on them.
Sure.
Okay. For example, building wealth, when to start.
Yesterday. Okay. Yesterday, today, immediately, as soon as you can.
What age are you thinking?
Well, you know, a young person who, a lot of people don't realize this, a young person, even though they may not be technically of age, there are actually opportunities for a young person who's running a, you'd be running a lemonade stand. And, you know, if the kid wants to put a little bit of money away, I remember, you know, as a child, you know, my passbook and putting $5 in my passbook here and there, but. Certainly when a young person is gainfully employed, I mean, 18, they get out of college and they're in their early 20s or out of a trade school and they start to be gainfully employed, as soon as they're in a position to do so, oftentimes that may involve an employer plan, but there are opportunities outside of that that we oftentimes are able to assist with as well. But the sooner that you're able to start putting money aside, the sooner you're able to see the phenomenal impact of compounding growth happen.
If you you gave an example like 25 or starting at 25 or 45, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, world of difference for sure.
Yeah. How much? What are you talking about?
So one of the things to keep in mind is that our lives tend to have sort of ebbs and flows, right? When you're young, you might be starting out where you're gainfully employed and you actually have some relatively low living expenses and you're able to actually set aside a little bit more. You may then progress in your life to where you get married and have kids in your first house and those kind of things. And maybe during those years, you're not able to contribute as much. But if a young person, for example, were to start off and fund a 401k or an IRA when they were very young, in their 20s, and I say that as very young, but and they were to fund for 10 years or so, right out of the gate, and then you know, life gets in the way, maybe the house, the kids, all those kind of things. That money that has been squirreled away, if you will, and invested during those early periods will continue to compound. And we've talked about sort of, you know, the idea of funding from 25 to 35 versus funding from 35 to 65. When you get to the end of that working career, the disparity between those two ultimate aggregate account balances may not be as great as one might think, simply because of those early years that an account was allowed to grow and compound.
Okay. One thing, I've got a friend of mine, and he takes care of his own investments, mm-hmm. right? And he's a smart guy, okay? But as we talked before, it's nice for a financial advisor because there's no emotion in it. Can you got a few words to say about that?
I would absolutely concur. That is, making decisions about financial matters when those decisions are clouded by emotion can really be problematic sometimes. And I think that's one of the great values that we bring to clients is the fact that we're often able to remove the emotion from the equation when a decision is made about not just a strategy, but perhaps even an individual investment choice. There is a lot of information, whether it be good or bad, that folks are inundated with in today's world. It's hard to not turn on radio or television
mm-hmm. yes.
and have someone giving you financial advice or using information that is related to the financial markets in a way that gets your blood going, right?
Right.
That's not when you want to make a decision or how you want to make a decision about this stuff.
For example, you always want to buy low and sell high, right?
Well, we wouldn't want to say we always want to do anything, okay? And that is a colloquialism that everybody seems to know, right?
Yeah.
Buy low, sell high. Well, there's a couple of things I would say about that, and that is that, you know, sometimes, you know, that is not always the case. There are exceptions to that. I would sometimes tell clients, you know, buying why, you know, sell why. I mean, why, if you've bought something that's a good investment, you know, why are you necessarily selling it? Just because it's high doesn't mean that it's not going to continue to do well. So each of those is a case by case scenario, But one of the things that I would remind people about, right, is the reason why that is a commonly a familiar saying is that there's truth in it, which is, you know, people complain about the market being down, but those are the opportunities sometimes when buying into a security can be an attractive time as
well. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Scott Mandrell with me, not related to the Mandrell sisters, I don't think, but... and he's with Edwards Jones and talking a little shop on investing and just informing. So what do you have to say about traditional communities such as ours? And we would consider this traditional, you know, farming community. What advice do you have for folks that may be multi-generational, wanting to pass on their wealth?
Well, I think Jerseyville and the surrounding communities, you know, our whole Tri-County area, really, Madison, Jersey, well, beyond that, Calhoun, Macoupin, the whole, you know, we are a more traditional type of community. That does not mean that we don't have folks from all walks of life. And so I think much of this is applicable to people from a very diverse group of people. However, you know, being a farm community, a lot of times people are faced with, there are property concerns. People have owned property. Grandma or grandpa bought a piece of property, or maybe there's even a farm that's been in the family for many generations. And the time comes for the transfer of those assets to the next generation. That's where I think we can sometimes be particularly helpful, because there's a lot of considerations that can sometimes be overwhelming to people in those moments. And those are very crucial times for families to make decisions that ensure that their legacy is preserved and that the goals and things that they're trying to achieve as a family with regard to building generational wealth or providing the transfer of wealth to another generation come into play. We deal with so many people going through these different scenarios that when someone walks through the door and they're like, hey, here's my scenario, I I've got this weird situation, it's probably not that weird to us. Right, we see so many of these scenarios that we say, hey, you know, we've seen this before. Don't forget that we need to consider this. We need to think about that, and let's make sure we're taking the steps necessary to partner with maybe your tax preparer, your attorney, and estate planner, and things like that, to make sure that we've got all the things we need in line to make sure that has the outcome you desire.
So you really need a team, then, don't you?
We do recommend a team. We pride ourselves in sort of quarterbacking, oftentimes, for our clients between the different players in their professional team. And you know, the tax piece is important. The legal aspects of an estate planning are also key. And so we have strong relationships with those other professionals in the community as well for that purpose.
I know you'd said we'd mentioned something earlier about, you do not want to ignore probate.
Well, what we were saying is we want to make sure that when you're planning your estate, that you're doing all the things you can to ensure that your desired outcome comes to fruition. So if there are things that you can do, proactive steps that you can take when you're planning your estate and as you're managing your accounts, whether they be with us or real estate holdings and other things, making sure that you have, all of the I's dotted and T's crossed to make sure that when that moment happens, that eventuality happens, that these assets are going to transfer, that they do indeed go to who you want, and that they are not at the whim of the courts. And that's the probate piece,
yes,
right? We want to avoid probate if at all possible for all parties generally.
Yeah, and start early.
And start early, absolutely.
And figure everything out and have a good plan.
Well, but start early, figure everything out, have a good plan, but that plan should also be regularly revisited and regularly updated. Things change in our life. Things happen all the time in the course of, we meet with our clients as often as, quarterly, certainly annually. I mean, different people have different desired regular meetings, but and as needed, but But things happen in people's lives, health issues, a death in the family, a birth. I mean, they're not always negative things. They can be very positive things. And so when those life events take place, we want to revisit those financial plans and make sure that you're taking all the proactive steps you can to make sure that whatever your end goal is, that you can meet it.
If someone did have a financial advisor, okay, how often should they touch base with them? You know, and just, I mean, what are you thinking?
Well, I would argue that is a very individual choice. There are some clients who want to be deeply engaged. There are some who feel like they are, transferring some of that responsibility to us through certain relationship and certain types of accounts. We would certainly want to talk to any client annually, at the very least. I would argue that most of my clients, I'm in a more regular contact, quarterly or maybe semi-annually. But quite frankly, one of the unique things, going back to your very early comment about the Edward Jones presence in our communities, I see many of my clients just as a regular course of living in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is not uncommon to be stopped at the grocery store or at a civic function and say, hey, you know, can I give you a call on Monday if there's something I want to talk to you about? So we want to be truly, available to our clients as needed. You know, so we deviate from that regular schedule as needed.
Yeah. So what would your mission be for your client if you were to say, well, this is what we do, you know?
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, I know it's kind of a little bit of a boilerplate response, but, you know, at Jones, we say this and we mean it, but it, you know, we partner for positive impact to improve the lives of our clients and colleagues, and together, you know, better our communities and society. And we do take that to heart. I go to weddings of my clients' kids. Unfortunately, there are funerals and there are birthdays, and we feel very much a part of our clients' lives. So, I think one of the things that has always and continues to distinguish Edward Jones is the fact that we feel very much like we are part of the community. We are not interlopers. We are not passing through. Edward Jones has been in the greater St. Louis community for 103 years now, and it is a hometown firm, and, you know, we have no intention of going anywhere. You know, no matter what the market does or doesn't do, we're not going to assess this area and say, we don't know if we're going to be committed to this community anymore. We're here. It's where we live, and we want you to know that, because we want to be accountable. And we want to be available. And so, you know, we are here, and there are a number of us in the community. Like I said, I serve the whole area. I have a lot of clients in Calhoun, Jersey County, and it's important to have a good fit with the individual that you work with, so that trust is there.
As far as heard this term, you know, and you can expand on a little bit, that the market is driven by fear and greed. And where are we right now?
Well, one might argue right now that I think some of the fear has subsided recently. But mm-hmm. The flip side of that is we can also get blinded by greed. We are about long-term investment. We Jones has always been committed to long-term investment in quality, long-term investment vehicles. And,
you're not into getting rich quick.
Well, you know,
I mean, you always hear that term.
There is, you know, people do. I it always reminds me of the musician who all of a sudden is an overnight wonder. But, you know, they've been playing in small venues for 30 years, and all of a sudden, you know, it very rarely does the overnight thing really truly happen. No, it's a long-term thing. Right now, I would argue that, and we talk about this a lot, that right now one might argue that we are closer to the greed end of the spectrum. People see a lot of strong performance in certain aspects of the market, and so they want to get on board. You have to be careful because, you know, particularly depending upon what the individual security might be, is this the time, you know, is it is it overpriced in the marketplace, for example? And but just because your friends recently did well does not mean that, you know, they did well. The horse may be out of the barn already, right?
Right.
There was a story about Joe Kennedy. One time he would ride the train. He had somewhat of a questionable past, you know, Joe Kennedy did before he became a legitimate businessman. And, but ultimately he would ride when he was at the height of his business acumen and career, he would ride a commuter train into the city every day. And one morning he was getting his shoes shined and the shoe shine guy started giving him stock tips. About, yeah, you really ought to buy some of this. You really ought to buy some of that. And when he got to the office that morning, he called his senior managers together and he told them that it was time to maybe look and start selling some things.
Oh, really?
Because when, you know, in that instance, when you're getting stock tips from, you know, from you know, everybody on the street, you know, there's a degree of greed and enthusiasm that's maybe not necessarily justified about market performance. What we're talking about with Edward Jones is long-term investing. We're going to be with you through the highs and the lows, and we're going to try to improve your gains, minimize your risk, and see you achieve your goals and help you partner together to achieve those goals.
Well, Scott, it's been very nice visiting with you. Any last words before we close this interview out?
No, I'm thrilled. I'm excited to have the opportunity to speak to the community through this mechanism. And we would encourage anyone who has any questions to reach out and contact us or any of the Jones offices. We are different branch offices, and yet we are a firm as a whole. And there's a lot of good folks working for Edward Jones in the area. And I would encourage folks to definitely reach out and ask questions if you haven't. Don't be afraid to ask questions.
All right. Well, thanks so much for coming in, and we'll see you out there.
Thank you so much, Chris.